Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG, online kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. Russia is on the move. They're doing all sorts of things. We've got some details about that. Inflation rising in the U.S., the most in four years. We'll take a look at what's costing more and what's costing less. And do you have a messy house? Hate to admit it, but sometimes it happens. Here are 10 habits you might want to break to improve that situation. That and more, this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online too. You probably know that. TheTrumpet.com, KPCG.fm. I have to remind you, though. Don't want people to forget. They could forget. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today, and we had 2 days of rain and clouds, which was nice, but the sun's back. So I was thinking about it when it was raining, what it would be like to live in Seattle or Portland, where it's just day after day after day. I think it would get a little old after a while. I'm glad to see the sun come back.
Yeah, it probably would get old. It's a bit inconvenient for me, usually, because the window on my driver's side door goes down, goes up all the way except for like the top 2 or 3 inches.
Oh, yeah.
And so a bunch of rain always gets on my seat, soaks through my pants every time I sit down. It's just not the best situation.
No, that happens. That happened to, actually, when I was a teenager, I had a friend that had a car. He was the first one of us to get a car, so you're always extra special for a few months anyway, and that happened to him. He had power windows, and they stopped going all the way up, and it was raining one day, and we were at my dad's house. He's like, well, I'll just park under the overhang. I'm like, I don't know, you know, and he's getting closer and closer, drives him to the side of the house, puts a hole in the wall.
What?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Just by not being a good driver. So by trying to avoid a little dampness in the car, he put a hole in the side of our house.
Oh, that is terrible.
That was a bad day. It was a bad day for him and for all of us.
I would have loved to have been there to see how your dad reacted.
It's one of those. I think I've had that moment a time or two as a parent where, and you'll know this at some point when you have kids, but where there's really no words. You look at them like, why, what, how, wherefore. And you can't even comment on it because it's just so ridiculous. You just walk away.
Just got to banish them for a few hours.
I can't even look at you right now. Yeah, so don't do that with your car. Don't try to drive under the overhang and drive into the side of the radio station here.
Yeah, I just have to take it every time. I'm trying to figure out a way to remedy the problem. I've gotten like a couch pillow, and I've put a pillowcase around it, and now I'm just going to bring it with me anytime it's wet so I can at least sit on that instead of directly on the seat.
Okay. I was thinking you were going to put the pillow in the window to, like, block
that,
the rain.
That actually might work.
You could go either way with it.
Don't give me too many ideas.
Don't drive it on the road, though, because you'll get stopped for that. You got a pillow taped to your window.
Sticking out the window the whole time.
It's probably not legal. It's probably against some sort of law, some sort of visibility law. It's like a side airbag, an old side airbag.
Yeah, that would actually block some very important parts of my view.
Yeah, need to see those blind spots. Probably would have seen you, but there was that pillow taped on the window there. This is one of the big headlines today. It's from Fox News. Russian spy ship spotted closer to U.S. near Navy submarine base. Does this make anybody nervous? Russian spy ship sitting out there?
Well, they're our friends, though, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, the Russian spy ship Viktor Leonov, that's how you say it, on Wednesday morning was spotted 40 miles closer to the U.S., not far from a Navy submarine base in Connecticut, a U.S. official told Fox News. Get it out of there.
Yeah.
Make it move.
I'm sorry, but that reminds me of a sign during the Thunder game. Some guy had a sign that said, I trust Russia more than Kevin Durant.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it's that bad. I think Russia's definitely a much bigger threat.
Was Vladimir Putin holding it?
No.
Never mind me. Look at this guy. Never mind what we're doing over here. They say the ship was spotted 30 miles south of Groton, Connecticut, but it remained in international waters. The U.S. territorial boundary exceeds extends rather 12 miles from the coast. So technically they're not in our space, but yeah, they're in our space.
Well, they're getting as close as possible. They're seeing where the red line is and if the red line will actually hold up.
Be like, it'd be like somebody coming right up to your property line and just standing there all the time. Like, what are you doing? I'm on my side.
That's like when little kids do that game where they put a finger an inch from your face and say, not touching you, not touching you, not touching you.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what's happening. The Russian spy ship was currently loitering in the water, the U.S. official said. You got to put one of those signs out there, no loitering. 12 miles off
out
of our
there on
coast.
A buoy.
Yeah, no loitering. No skateboarding either. The spy ship is armed with surface-to-air missiles, but its main function is to intercept communications and collect data on U.S. Navy sonar capability. So they're just out there. They're doing it, obviously, to just kind of spite us, I guess, and probably test the new administration, see if they'll do anything.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how really the radical left in this country has been so obsessed with Mr. Trump being best friends with Russia. But if that were the case, clearly they wouldn't be doing something like this. They obviously don't have too much respect for America, no matter who's in charge, and that really does need to change.
Yeah, this is the furthest north that the ship had traveled up the eastern seaboard. The Russian spy ship was last seen off of the east coast of the U.S. about 2 years ago. So we've seen it before, back in the neighborhood again.
That just shouldn't be happening. I wonder what would happen if we just blew it up.
That's a really good question. Yeah,
no more Cold War. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be, and that's, I think that's the hand sort of that Russia's playing. Like, well, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Because they know we don't really want to escalate. And they probably don't either, but they're willing to push it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's especially obvious that Americans are terrified of war or they're fed up with war, so they really are going to test that as much as possible. We've proven it in pretty much every area where we've ever had troops, that we want to get them out as fast as possible, that we don't really want to directly engage or use our power in too many ways.
Yeah, Russia's, well, and other nations, of course, have been doing the same sort of thing to us, but Russia in particular has just been, they've buzzed some of our planes. They've moved some missiles, I believe, into an area that violates a treaty, as if they care about that. And so they've been doing a lot, really, in the last several years in particular. And thetrumpet.com has a lot of very good write-ups about Vladimir Putin, the Prince of Rosh. And so those are worth looking at if you haven't looked at those in a while or if you've never looked at them, especially to see what they're up to. He is definitely a man of action. Not a lot of words, but a lot of action.
Yeah, and also Russia's good friend Iran has been pretty belligerent toward us as well, with a lot of similar actions, especially towards some of our seafaring vessels. So it just shows you there is a clear enemy here. There are nations that are our enemies. That list of nations doesn't include Israel or some of the other nations that we've been more hostile to recently.
I wonder the guys on that Russian vessel, I wonder if they're nervous. Like, you know, something could happen, or if they're pretty confident that we won't do anything. I mean, it would be, I could see it being somewhat nerve-wracking.
That's not too pleasant of a job to just be told to go over there and sort of provoke the most powerful nation in the world, because you're pretty sure they won't do anything, but there is a chance. That just seems like they're human bait right now.
Yeah, I wonder what would happen if the U.S. did blow it up and then said, sorry, it was an accident. We didn't know. We didn't see you there.
Hey, that sounds familiar.
Because that happens, you know, where nations will do something and then say, oh, whoopsies. So I don't know. Maybe that was something they would do. But my guess is that nothing will be done and they'll go on their way. And they're just pushing the limits, seeing how close they can get. And they'll be back around again here and who knows when.
Yeah. And if it were just some regular vessel that didn't have spying capabilities, then maybe it would be passable. But to just let it sort of gather intelligence there, that doesn't seem too smart.
We could take him hostage.
Yeah.
And then when Iran sends us a pallet of cash, we could let him go back to Russia via Iran.
Exactly.
Probably won't do that. Some things changing in the U.S. economy here. This is from MarketWatch. Inflation surges in January by most in 4 years. The prices Americans pay for goods and services surged in January by the largest amount in 4 years, mostly reflecting a rebound in the cost of gasoline. And that's taking a bigger chunk out of the household incomes. I've noticed that gas has gone up. I think about $2.20 the other day, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good 25 cents higher than what it's been even really recently.
Of course, I think, I mean, obviously we all remember it being, I mean, what's the highest it got? It was, I don't think it ever got to four, but it was definitely up in the threes somewhere. I mean, it depends what part of the country you're in. Here in Oklahoma, we're typically a little cheaper, but it was definitely way up in the threes. And then we came down to like, I don't even know. I don't know if we got under a buck, but it was like right around a dollar something. Mm-hmm. So it's been jumping all over, and it does save you a lot if you're filling up a 10-gallon tank or whatever the normal one is. I remember when the prices were really high, coming into driving up to a pump after a big truck had been there, like a big four-wheel drive truck, and seeing that they had spent $100 on gas, and I think that's a shutoff for a lot of pumps, like they won't let you get more than that. So I was glad to have my little four-cylinder.
Oh, man, that's just terrible. Yeah, some vehicles are just so inefficient that you don't know how people can really afford to drive.
Yeah, I mean, if you need it for work, that's one thing. Right. You know, your construction, you're something where you need that truck. But if it's just for show, then you hate to pay for it.
Yeah, that doesn't seem too smart or too practical, I guess. If you have the money, though, why not?
You do what one of my neighbors does. You get this giant truck, and then it just sits in your yard. You haven't driven the thing in months. It's missing a tire. It's just jacked up. It's just sitting there.
He'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, right. That's what everybody thinks. What do they call those? Shade tree mechanics? You're working out in your front yard under the trees, and you end up getting more and more vehicles. I'm sure it's like, that's what good intentions look like. It's a yard with a bunch of broken down cars.
Well, eventually it's going to turn into some beaten down old neighborhood if everyone keeps doing that. They just keep leaving everything in their front yard.
Don't discourage me from my living arrangement. Thankfully, there's only maybe two houses in the whole neighborhood that kind of have that going on. And we've got a story about messy homes here a little later. So I did happen to think of one person in particular. They don't know who I am, and I don't know who they are really. But I do drive past their house, and occasionally the garage is open. And it's like, what is going on?
Do you have some sort of like homeowners association for your neighborhood where you could send a complaint?
Yeah, it's one of those like, I think we technically do, but nobody pays anything for it, you know. And it's kind of not as big of a deal as it used to be. So I don't know. People have to take responsibility for their own stuff, but
I wouldn't tell. I'd be too worried. No. They'd point out who said something,
right?
And then they'd target me for some reason.
And what are you going to do about it? I mean, it's up to them. I mean, hopefully they clean up their stuff. But we did have one neighbor that never cut the grass. I mean, it was just it was kind of a weird like side field to their house. Never cut it. It was long and grown. One day, for some reason, they cut it, and all the neighbors that I passed when I was walking, they're like, "Hey, did you see they cut the lawn?" I'm like, "I know." We all bonded over the cutting of the lawn, so that was exciting.
It was a thrilling day in the neighborhood there.
It was thrilling, yeah. So most people do a pretty good job, but occasionally you've got that situation there. So we've got a story a little later about keeping house clean. Might be some good points there. As far as the cost of some things going up, gasoline, as mentioned, is one of the higher things. But they think it's leveling off at this point. Some other things are more expensive as well. Rents have been rising rapidly, and medical costs. Now, that's a shocker. You expect the medical costs to go way down, don't you?
Well, I thought it was supposed to based on some bills that were passed.
I tell you what, I mean, there's the amount they charge for medications and all these things. It just goes up and up and up. They say while Americans shell out more for housing and health care, they're actually paying less for groceries. The cost of food rose slightly in January, so it's up a little, but we're paying 2% less for groceries now as compared to last year at this time. Mm. So I don't know. It never seems that way. I haven't noticed it, but I guess it's down a little bit.
Yeah, I think I've noticed it a little bit because it seems like I can take $50 to the store and then last for 3 weeks somehow.
Wow.
I don't know how that works necessarily. I'm not the one buying the groceries, so maybe I just don't have the skill like she does.
Yeah, it is a skill to get decent stuff and pay the right prices for it. So when you're thinking about money in the economy, everybody thinks, boy, if I had more money, life would be easier. But not always. Here's a story out of the UK. A 17-year-old girl won the lottery, but she says it ruined her life. 17 years old. I didn't know you could buy lottery tickets. Maybe in the UK you can at 17. But she won. Her name is Jane Parks. She won the Euro Millions at the age of 17. Now she's 21, and she claims that it ruined her life. She's actually suing the company. She probably needs more money. How can you sue them? You won.
Be grateful.
It's, she won 1 million euros. So that's, I mean, that's a lot of money. It's not like you could just do whatever you want, but I mean, that's a fair bit. And says, at the same time, she obviously thought it was amazing that she won, but in the years since, she's realized that being a millionaire comes with an abundance of pressure and is now considering suing, which is crazy. But in any event, I think there might be a good lesson here. She says that the money didn't solve her problems. Following her win, she moved to a new house she bought with the money. And then she bought a second property so she could go on holiday. I don't know why she needs to go on holiday. I don't think she has a job. And then she had some plastic surgery, of course. And then she bought a purple Range Rover and then a Chihuahua, among a few other things. So she spent quite a bit of cash pretty quick.
I just don't understand almost any of those purchases, really. I mean, it just doesn't seem like that would do too much for me. But I'm not a girl. I'm not a 17-year-old girl.
No.
So I wouldn't get a Chihuahua ever or any purple vehicle.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think buying a house could be a good idea, but usually they buy several. And then you got to think about the cost of upkeep, property tax. You know, $1 million, it's a lot, or €1 million, but it goes quick.
Yeah, to think it's going to just last the rest of your life if you go on a spending spree, it definitely won't if you do that.
She said that at times it feels like winning the lottery has ruined my life. I thought it would make my life 10 times better, but it's made it 10 times worse. She says, I wish I had no money most days. Oh, come on. Yeah, that's probably not true. Who out there said, boy, I just wish I didn't have any money. Why can't I just not have any money today?
How could life be so bad if you had €1 million?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you do with it. She says, I say to myself, my life would be so much easier if I hadn't won. Maybe it's just grass is greener on the other side. She's not happy now, and so she blames that. I don't know.
Yeah, she should have known what she was signing up for. A lot of people have had bad experiences winning the money because they blew it on terrible things and mm-hmm. then were just as broke as they were before they yeah. bought the ticket. If you're not smart with it, obviously it's going to be destructive.
And sometimes people know that you won, and they come looking for yeah. a little bit of a handout. She says, she's got a lot more stress now. She says, I have material things, but apart from that, my life is empty. What is my purpose in life? So she got all the stuff she ever wanted and then realized she wasn't a happy person. She doesn't know the purpose or meaning of life. And I think that's interesting to look at somebody in that situation and see that perspective.
And that's true of most people, it seems like, who have money. We always see all the highly publicized stories of miserable celebrities committing suicide or going through 5 or 6 divorces. It clearly is not the source of happiness. If maybe they were doing the right things in their lives, then the money would make their lives better. But other than that, it's not going to do much.
Yeah. I don't think the money is the cause of the problem necessarily. I think it just magnifies whatever the problem was.
Yeah.
And if she just
it gives you more money for whatever bad habits you might have.
Yeah, whatever you want to go do, you can go yeah. do then at that point. So anyway, we'll see if she ends up suing the company. I don't think that would be a... She says she was too young when she won it, and that's her lawsuit. That they shouldn't sell it to 17-year-olds, which I agree with that, but it doesn't seem like she has much of a case there.
Well, if the judge agrees with that too, though, she might actually win. That's the thing. Yeah. That's all it might take.
Yeah, she gets more money. I should never have won this money. Now I want more money. I don't know if she's suing for money or if she's just suing to change the law or what there. But she's got two houses now, and hopefully they're clean, but my guess is they're not. 10 messy habits to break for a cleaner home. It's easy enough to get messy. It just happens. Here's 10 things that sometimes people do. Maybe you do them. I think I do some of them that you might want to change if you want a cleaner house. Number one, they say you might be wearing your shoes inside the house. Rather than taking off your shoes as soon as you come through the front door, you get distracted and end up circumnavigating your home in mucky footwear. Yeah, I do that, I guess, sometimes. Not usually dirty shoes necessarily, but my kids have a habit of dropping their shoes wherever they feel like it, and then I find them when I trip on them. So I don't like that.
Throw it at them.
I've tried a few things, not that, but I have tried a few things, and it's still got to break the habit.
Apparently throwing a shoe is like the highest symbol of disrespect in some nations.
It is. That happened to President Bush, I think, yeah. infamously. People remember that. Another habit sometimes people have, they say you might let your pooch, your dog, I guess, sit on the sofa. Letting your dog snuggle on the sofa inevitably leads to hair and sometimes mud transferring from hound to upholstery. And for somebody like you, Grant, allergic You don't want that.
I've had bad experiences with that. Just sitting on a couch where a dog has been before definitely makes it difficult for anyone with allergies.
For sure. We've got a story later about a lady that is allergic to literally everything. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Number three, they say, this might be a habit that gets you a messy house. You pile up used tea bags. I guess, I don't know if people make tea. That seemed kind of strange to me, but it says if repeated trips to the kettle for your morning brew or visiting a bevy of thirsty friends leads to a mountain of used tea bags piled perilously on your countertop, act now. Get rid of them. I don't know. I'm not. We do have tea at the house, but it's never been a thing. I've never seen them sitting around. So, is that a problem for people? They have this huge pile of tea bags sitting there.
I don't know, but I always find like granules of sugar on the countertops just from making tea.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an extension of the problem where if the counters don't get wiped down, whatever you set down on the counter next will pick up those granules.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're getting a house or maybe you're remodeling or building, that's one thing to think about. What type of countertop do you want?
Mm.
Some things absorb bacteria more than others, and so that is a concern. Another habit sometimes people have, number four, you dump your clothes. From throwing your coat over the banisters to shedding your clothes onto the bedroom floor, dumping clothes makes a big mess fast. That's a big one. That gets a lot of people from time to time. I may or may not have been guilty of that at some time, like every day. Number five, you store cleaning products badly. They say, that's right, it's possible to do such a thing, even though it's a cleaning product, it's making a mess. If you keep your cleaning products in a mix of locations, a jumbled state, or buried at the back of the cabinet, you're putting up boundaries between yourself and getting on with the cleaning. Number six, don't finish what you start. Start one project, don't finish it, leave it out. That happens. Number seven, you can't help collecting things. That happens sometimes. Number eight, you go to bed when you're too tired and you left stuff out and didn't put everything away. That happens as well. Nine, hoarding condiments. you see that in fridges, a lot of half-empty bottles of mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup, etc.
That actually made a mess in my glove box. So even in the car, it can be a problem.
Yeah.
One of the packets burst.
Oh, yeah.
And so it just... It got everything all sticky in there.
You looked over and you thought somebody just got shot. There's blood everywhere. It's just ketchup.
Exactly. That's what it was.
We were in a bad neighborhood. Oh, no, that's just ketchup. Number 10, they say you're a piler-upper, piles of paperwork, magazines, or books, et cetera. That happens. I have that issue where things just... And then, of course, once you get kids, it becomes their issue because they're reading a book and they leave it on your space. And I come back, I'm like, these aren't my books. I'm not reading Laura Ingalls Wilder. Not again.
Not for the 15th time.
Not again. And so, I try to get them to take their stuff. Because I'll say, put that away, and they walk over and they put it on my pile. I'm like, no, that's my pile. You put it on your pile.
Yeah, they see piles, and then they start thinking that they can all join piles. It's just a fun experience.
Just put the piles together. So, of course, this story happened. This was sent in by one of our listeners who likes to send us some tidbits once in a while. And this was a great story. Funny story. Trusty pet squirrel foils burglary. Who has pet squirrels?
That must be the only person. I've never considered a squirrel as a pet.
Me either. I've never thought much of squirrels. I've been afraid of squirrels once. I think I've said this before, but where I went to college, we had a park right next to the campus. A lot of squirrels, and you had to walk through the park, and they were used to people, and you were used to handouts. And so they would come in like a gang. And they're looking at you, and I started thinking, like, what if they attacked, you know? They were very aggressive. They wanted stuff. So if you had things, they were coming for it.
That is scary. I would not want to be anywhere near that.
Yeah, you don't want to get bit by a squirrel.
No.
It'd be terrible.
Well, that's like the scariest animal in movies, because they always show the squirrels with rabies.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
Absolutely.
That could easily happen, too.
It could.
Yeah.
So this guy has a pet squirrel. It says, no guard dog here, an Idaho man... said his pet squirrel foiled a home invasion burglary in between jumping across the furniture and wolfing down snacks. Was he wolfing them down or was he squirreling them away? That's the question.
I saw that too. I'm like, why are you using another animal description to describe a squirrel?
The wolf was squirreling away his prey. Adam Pearl is the man's name. He said Monday he knew something was off when he approached the home. He saw that there was footprints in the snow. And they had a gun safe where there was some scratch marks by it. Looked like somebody was trying to get in. But his squirrel, Joey, seemed just fine. Pearl called the police, and when they came over, they saw the squirrel, and the lady, police officer, was a little nervous about it. He said, "I don't worry about that. That's just Joey, my pet squirrel." Oh, of course it is. So the officer, Ashley Turner, reportedly returned hours later carrying some of the stolen items and saying that she may have solved the case. She found the person that they thought did it, and he had squirrel marks, scratches.
Right.
And that's how they knew that he had done it.
Yeah, apparently the squirrel just kept on attacking him and wouldn't leave him alone until he left the house.
Yeah, and of course, you know, a lot of times people that are crooks and thieves are not the brightest individuals. That's maybe while they're in that line of work. But the officer asked the suspect, she said, did you get those from a squirrel? And he said, yeah, the thing kept attacking me. It wouldn't stop. You know, you might think that they would piece the two things together, you know. But he just said, oh, yeah, I got attacked by a squirrel. The proud owner said he thanked his squirrel with its favorite snack. It doesn't like nuts. It likes candy. Hmm. He said, he's a pain, but he's great. So there you go. You know, guard squirrel.
Yeah, well, the scratch marks on the guy's hands actually gave it away almost.
Yeah, it did. That's how they caught the guy. So I worked with a guy one time. His name was Garrett, and he had pet ferrets. No joke. Like, you'll never, I can't forget, Garrett had a ferret.
That's awesome.
And ferrets are little, they're just little, like, rodent-type things. And he always liked to tell a story about people coming to his house and sitting down wearing shorts, and the ferret would run up the short legs.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he thought it was funny.
That's not funny. That shouldn't happen.
No. No. If you get, people say sometimes that, you know, people when they have pets, they begin to look like their pets. Their pets begin to look like them. This guy had a name similar to his pet, Garrett and the Ferret.
That's just, why would anyone want to come over to his house if he just, if they're just going to crawl up your legs?
That's true. I mean, he was telling all of us at work, maybe he was giving us a warning.
Oh,
don't come over.
I see. He's a loner.
Yeah. We thought it was a funny story, but he's like, nah, I don't want you coming over. I got ferrets. They'll run up your pant leg. So, yeah, always remember that. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. You can send us emails, any stories or anything, comments at kpcg.fm, and you can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm. Kia David Program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show, both coming your way today, and the Trumpet Hour Program as well. Here are some of the headlines today, some of the analysis pieces from thetrumpet.com. Make sure you check this out. Murders up in U.S. cities. You've probably seen a lot of stats on that if you've been looking. That's by Andrew Miller. Also, North Korea ups the stakes with game-changing missile launch. They're doing a lot as well, of course, just like Russia is. That's by Christopher Eames. And an analysis piece, German Army Continues to Swallow Its Neighbors, by Richard Palmer. Not literally, but figuratively, I'm assuming. So make sure you check that story out at thetrumpet.com as well. Dwight Falk with you here today, and Grant Turgeon as well. Grant, you have a write-up for us here from The Federalist. Why the resistance is the best thing that's happened to Donald Trump. Lots of people are anti-Trump. They think it's a good thing.
Right. The thing is, with the radical left and the way that they have really become so hysterical since the election, they've actually given a lot of people reason to support Mr. Trump in response. They're basically making it a choice between Mr. Trump and people like Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren, who are just, I mean, they're very annoying politicians. I don't know how else to say it. They just lie whenever it suits them, and they dramatize issues, and they're as insulting as Mr. Trump can be, if not more. And also, it's like you're choosing between Mr. Trump and the people that are marching all across the country, moaning about the patriarchy, the people rioting and burning the cities, the totalitarians blocking the education secretary from walking into a public school, the people who are beating up attendees of the Milo Yiannopoulos event. Which are people mostly going to choose, Mr. Trump or all of those horrible things?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point, because the groups that are protesting President Trump, they may have a point in some things or a message that they'd like to get out there. But like you say, it's so loud and it's so obnoxious at times that whatever point they're trying to get across, I think it's hard to even get to the point, because you're just watching the burning cars or the riot or, you know, hearing the snarky commentary. And it kind of they kind of are blunting their own sword in a way with just all of these actions.
Right. And it's almost like, well, which ideology is better, conservatism or liberalism? That really doesn't become the point when liberalism is spawning these types of horrifying reactions while conservatism never did. That people could just judge by their reactions alone instead of ever having to think about the different ideologies, the different viewpoints, the different policy positions. People are not even having to do too much research to see that liberalism has become completely radical and almost on the brink of insanity.
Yeah, and that's where we are in the country, which is kind of a pretty unique place. I don't know, maybe we've been there a time or two before, but where it's the division is so stark. Usually you can come to some sort of an agreement, like the left and the right could say, okay, well, we agree on these basic things. And I don't know if they agree on anything at this point.
No, not at all. It seems like there might be one or two conservatives that the liberals don't necessarily think are completely deplorable fascists who are aiding and abetting the Trump regime that is about to enslave the nation. That's really what they think about conservatives right now. They make it like it's a moral problem, like you're a horrible person if you disagree with them. But the thing is, why wouldn't people disagree with them if they're forcing you to pick something like Planned Parenthood over the recent Supreme Court appointee Neil Gorsuch? If they're trying to make you pick teachers' unions over tax cuts, people aren't going to choose that. If they're trying to make you choose siding with Iran over Israel, most people won't agree with that either. You know, the bureaucratic state over deregulation of the government, people would not choose that either. They would not choose a government that is so big that it controls most aspects of their lives. So they're basically forcing you to pick a side altogether. They're not allowing anybody to judge Mr. Trump issue by issue. They're saying either you're with him or you're against him. And if you're not against him, you're horrible.
Yeah, I think some of those actions, rioting and so forth, it does force people into one camp or the other. But probably most people are probably in the middle of the two. Like, they might agree with some things from one side, but then kind of agree with some from the other. You know, it'd be like going to a restaurant, you know, and you can't pick a, you know, well, I'd like a little of this and a little of that. It's like, no, you buy this meal or this one or you get out of here.
Exactly.
You're not going to eat there because you kind of want to mix it, you know, mix and match a little bit.
And how are people going to respond to that? They're going to say, well, if you're only giving me two absolute options, I'm not going to choose your side because you're the one who's trying to force me to pick between two things when there are tons of different points on the spectrum where different people could fall normally. If this were a normal country, you would have moderates, you would have conservatives, you'd have liberals, you'd have people that are barely to the left, barely to the right. Mm-hmm. Now it's people who are far, far right in the minds of the liberals, and then them in reality when they are far to the left. Those are the only two options in their eyes.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of the path that things have to go, because a lot of what is written in the media that is pro-left agenda and very much against, say, the right or the conservative view, it's very radical in the way they frame it. Like you said, it's not like, well, this person has a lot of good things they're doing, but we don't agree on this one point. No, it's usually like they're the worst since Hitler. Mm-hmm. And that's not true, and yet it's such a radical framing that everything gets framed in that sort of context.
The liberals have really done something quite, impossible, we thought, and that is making terms like racist and Hitler lose all meaning. When you call everything a racist and you call everyone Hitler, then people are not going to think that means what it really means. They're not going to care too much about that description anymore. In fact, after a while, people will say, well, you think it's Hitler, so I think it's good because I'm sick of you calling everything you disagree with Hitler.
Yeah, and you know, it's really becoming sort of like that child's story or about the boy that cried wolf. I mean, even take the Russia situation. I mean, we've heard Russia, 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 and probably too much. But there are some things that Russia is doing that really are bad and that should be looked at. And yet, because the left in particular, I think, has just really hit that over and over again, you almost just recoil when you hear it and say, oh, that's more of that propaganda. Even though there is some things to look at there, I think it's the boy that cried wolf a little bit.
There is almost a tendency hearing people rant about Russia like that, to like Russia too much and to consider them almost like a friend, even though they've done absolutely nothing in our favor, whether it be with Syria or Iran or anywhere else. They're not our friends at all. And yet, in response to the people dramatizing about how much of a threat Russia is in every single way that they're not, it really makes you think that Russia's not much of a threat at all.
Yeah, and I think there's sort of this weird perception that these foreign powers like Russia, like they care if you're liberal or conservative. You know, as if Vladimir Putin's going, well, you know, I really, you know, like he's weighing both parties. He's anti-American. He
exactly.
doesn't care what you call yourself. He's anti-American and he's anti-West and he's pro-him and pro-Russia. But we think that other people are concerned about our back and forth and not realize that they're against everybody, everybody in the U.S.
that's so true. It's funny in a sad way, I guess, how the liberals have really so polarized the country. They don't even realize that most hardcore conservatives, people who legitimately stick to conservative principles, have plenty of disagreements with Mr. Trump already, and yet they're being forced to defend him at every turn by all these people who are chanting in the streets about every single cabinet appointment that he's had or Supreme Court appointment, like those people are the worst things that have ever happened to America. When you dramatize like that all the time, then you really lose any legitimacy in your voice.
Yeah, I think just, you know, in life personally, as you get older, I think people get a little smarter about choosing the battles, what's worth getting into and what's not that big of a deal. And they're going after everything. They're not on the left, I think, and I don't think they're picking their battles very well to the point where when they actually have a point that might be worth raising, it's kind of lost in just this overwhelming screaming and crying about the other side. And I think they kind of lose their message there.
Right. And there is one other point of hypocrisy here where they're so desperate to attack Trump, Mr. Trump, in any way possible that, you know, if he attacks the Supreme Court justices or any of the justices for being corrupt, then they say, well, oh, Mr. Trump doesn't respect the law. But then whenever he enforces immigration law, they say, well, he's respecting the law. But really, what they don't like is anything he does that they personally disagree with, they think is the worst thing ever.
Yeah. And fake news as
and
well.
And fake news.
You can read more about that at the Federalist. Why the Resistance is the Best Thing That's Happened to Donald Trump. Grant, thanks for bringing that to us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG and online. We're at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com. And I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today, and Abraham Blondeau stopping by. We haven't seen you in a while. You're back.
Yes.
You were up in Canada for a little bit. You enjoy your trip?
Yes. Yeah, it was really nice. The day my wife and I traveled up there, there was a 120-degree temperature change from Oklahoma to their destination in Canada.
Wow. Colder, I imagine, as
yes.
you went north. Yeah. If it was hotter, it would have been records. Records in Canada.
Yeah, but yeah, it's good to be back. There was a Abe drought on the radio, I guess.
Yeah, you've returned.
Yeah.
and you've got a story we're going to get into here in a bit. I wanted to mention one other thing. This is a strange story, and I feel really bad for this lady. I've never heard of this before, but this is pretty amazing. Wife who is allergic to husband faints in new home he built for her. This lady is allergic to everything, including people, for the most part, and her husband. I've never heard of that. Actually being allergic to things. She has this illness, disease, I guess. The husband of a Minnesota woman who's allergic to everything, including her spouse, spent a year renovating their home to create a safe space for her. He put all new stuff in. She comes in there, faints, and has to go to the emergency room because she's allergic to it, even after he tried to do all this stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know people, when they sneeze around me, have joked that they're allergic to me for various reasons. But, that is to be something very hard to live with. I mean, my brother has some allergies, and it's difficult just for him to deal with like pollen and different things like that. So couldn't imagine being allergic to everything, even your own family.
Yeah. She's 29 years old and she's been living in a friend's master bedroom, which was wrapped in plastic from the windows with the windows sealed. Can't have anything in there. And so she's married, but yet they can't really see each other. So it's kind of a tough deal there. And she is allergic to her parents also. The only people that she knows of that she's not allergic to are her three siblings.
Huh.
It's crazy. She's been misdiagnosed 30 times, and in 2015, they determined that she has mast cell activation syndrome, which causes cells to release the wrong chemicals in the immune system to the wrong places at the wrong time. Everything's wrong about it. And so every time she comes into contact with something, it's like she becomes allergic to it because of the way her body responds. I mean, you'd be living in like a prison. That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's like the bubble boys, those children who have to live completely cut off from society because of their condition. And maybe, I don't know if she contracted this later in life or if she was born with it, but it sounds like maybe she got it later. But yeah, that would just be difficult. And it is interesting too that only the three siblings, the people who probably have similar genetics in every way to her, that's when her body responds properly. So that's just really interesting condition. And that's, kudos to her to probably trying to make the best of it as well. But yeah, it's tough.
She develops new allergies all the time and then cause her to faint or her windpipe will close up, which is obviously life-threatening. At one point, her symptoms became so intense that the family that she was staying with realized that they could no longer cook in their own kitchen. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess you would almost have to put the person in some sort of a bubble, like you say, and they would just have to be there. What a terrible thing. I had not heard of that before. Obviously, I know people get allergies. But to where your body just keeps being allergic to everything, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's a battle you can't win, I guess. And this makes me grateful that we can enjoy fresh air and different things like this. Is some of the simplest things in life that I guess she just wouldn't be able to do anymore.
Yeah, that's from our new segment called "You Think You've Got It Bad."
Yeah,
look at this lady! Wow, amazing. Lots going on, of course, in the news, a lot related to the new President Trump administration. This is from foreignpolicy.com. And the title is "Donald Trump Has Put America in Legal Hell." The president isn't ignoring specific statutes. It says he's attacking the very idea of the rule of law. That's been going on for a while. A couple of administrations maybe, but they don't like what he's doing apparently.
Yeah, I thought this article was interesting because I think it, as Grant touched on earlier, it does highlight hypocrisy, but also it highlights how certain groups choose very, very, very specific instances to highlight when there's a massive problem, not just with one individual, but with the system and society, with lawlessness, fighting against the rule of law and diluting it to where it can't properly check power or bad decisions.
Yeah, you know what I found very interesting is how now the other side, the liberals, the Democrats, now they're real law hounds. Now that the other administration is in, we all remember Nancy Pelosi talking about Obamacare. Well, we got to pass it to find out what's in it.
Yeah,
and then she's been coming out though and like trying to every little thing that happens, she's like, "This is unbelievable and unacceptable and lawless," and it's a complete flip flop of how she was the last 8 years. Her in particular really struck me because I saw a quote from her the other day and she was talking about, you know, we have to uphold the law and this is lawless and a lawless president. And she was so worked up about it. And she didn't care about any of that when it came to Obamacare or some of those other things. So like you say, they're picking what to highlight.
Yeah. Well, exactly. In this article, the author just highlights some tweets and statements Donald Trump has made criticizing the Ninth Circuit and judges who have ruled against the immigration probation. And that is something that, and it mainly points out that if you do criticize a judge, there are certain laws that you can become in contempt of court and be charged. Because if you undermine the judiciary, it's hard for their judgments to be enforced. And that's what those laws are trying to protect. However, if we look at just the lawless behavior of many presidents, judges, politicians over the, even just in the past 10 years, you can go back a lot further than that, but just the past 10 years, what he's done is the very minimum to even justify this. All he said is he's criticized them for being political, he's called them so-called judges, the normal kind of response. And I think there is room for criticism for a president to say certain things. There is a better way to go about it. But at the same time, the Ninth Circuit, just looking at the books and the statutes, people will debate about this. But to the Judiciary Court, except for the Supreme Court in some limited matters, do not have a say in foreign policy. That's not something for the judges to decide. That's a purely executive and legislative function. So the fact that the Ninth Circuit intervened in a foreign policy case, it's a huge power grab by the Ninth Circuit, and it's actually unconstitutional. And that's why Donald Trump is attacking it, because it is lawless. It is now, I think they weren't thinking about that when they made the decision, but that's what the precedent implies.
Well, yeah, there is sort of this, I don't know, thought out there that judges in general are just like above reproach. Like they don't make mistakes. I thought when the whole thing happened, I didn't know the legalities of what they could or couldn't do with the judge there, what he could do. But it just seemed pretty arrogant to come out and kind of say, well, this is my ruling and I know how this should go. And of course, everyone was cheering for him on the left. It just seemed to lack any sort of humility at all, that maybe possibly he didn't know the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I think just studying some of the greatest cases in American history, Roe versus Wade, other huge decisions by the Supreme Court, you can, whether it was a good or bad decision, that's not to be said now, but the way they handled it was very, very delicate, because they knew it was going to be a huge shift in society and it would be opposition. So they tried to handle it delicately and in a certain manner that wouldn't offend people. But that was completely thrown out the window in this case. And I think we can see how politicized the judiciary has become, to where the politics and the integrity of the courts matter less than saying what the people want to be heard. And I think that's the main problem. And we've been seeing this go on with politicians flip-flopping. We've seen it with Nancy Pelosi is a great example. But even before coming over, I was reading about Robert Bork and his nomination. If you want to talk about attacking the rule of law or defaming a judge, the things Senator Ted Kennedy said about him, basically he was going to send America back into the Stone Age, was all lies and completely undermining the process of a nomination. This completely wrecked the way we nominate judges to the Supreme Court for ever since then.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too. You talked about some of the tweets that President Trump sent out about the judge, and you know, people were upset. And there might, I think, there's probably not the best things to say. But again, what do they say about the president? They call him everything, every name, every accusation you can think of, and they're proud to do it. And he's just giving it back to him a little bit, and they're like, well, you can't do that. Okay, none of them should do it, but they're all doing it and then pointing the finger at the other side. It's pretty hypocritical.
Yeah, well, I mean, the president has a First Amendment right to say his opinion too.
Right.
Now he has to use law of wisdom when he does that, but at the same time, you have people calling Trump fascist, comparing him to genocidal maniacs in history. Now, I think if anyone was called that, they would feel defensive about things and would want to defend their character, especially be vilified like Hitler. That's not something to be thrown around lightly. He murdered 6 million Jews and millions of other people. I mean, that's one of the worst. Probably one of the worst men in all history to be compared to, and to throw it around like that is very irresponsible by those people for other reasons too. But we've seen just how words, 140 character tweets, people react on. But what about actions? Because that's really how you judge someone is by their actions mainly. Now he's done some things that have been clumsy and probably haven't been the best. But let's look at the past 8 years if you want to talk about attacking the rule of law. We've had a president who actively subverted the police force in America, a president that circumvented Congress and the courts, a president that completely undermined the Constitution and the very integrity of American society, the glue that holds everything together, stirring up racial tensions and all this in this nation. That wasn't President Trump, that was President Obama. He did it in a very more subtle, genteel, sophisticated way, but some of his statements on the rule of law are much more destructive than any tweet Donald Trump has put out. So if you want to talk about attacking the rule of law, everything that the left is facing right now from Donald Trump, it's a monster created in their own making by allowing a man to completely destroy the rule of law. Now they have someone they don't agree with using that same thing against them, against their policies, and they hate it.
Yeah, and from what some of the articles I've seen, President Obama doesn't plan to go quietly into that good night. He is going to set up a little bit of a shadow government to some extent, like 2 miles from the White House.
Yeah.
Imagine the outcry if when he came into office, if President Bush had kept, you know, saying, well, I'm going to stick around and tell you what I think about things. Oh, they would have been outraged. But now, well, it's okay. It's just the hypocrisy is on display for everyone to see.
Yeah, and I think what people miss is it's not about one party or ideology. Everyone loses. It doesn't matter what ideology is in control. Whether you agree with Donald Trump or not, or President Obama or not, if the rule of law is eroded, everyone loses in the long run. And that's the main thing to take away from this. Any article such as this or any issue they describe is that this doesn't happen overnight. It's been a decades-long erosion of the rule of law and of the Constitution and of those basic values that have unified America in the past. Those are being swept away. Every mistake by Donald Trump, every attack by the media, this sweeps it away more and more each time until doesn't matter who's in power, the rule of law will be gone. And that's when every American, whether you're an intellectual, poor, black, white, doesn't matter what you are, you will be affected negatively and catastrophically by that.
Yeah, there's always been radical thinking on every side of an issue, but the rule of law typically was there to keep it more in the center and to get the really outlandish ideas, not let those become policy. But that's changing now to where it's kind of radical on both sides, and they're wanting to come in and enforce their ideas upon people.
Yeah, I mean, this radical, you could call it radical conservatism. It's barely that. It's actually, the conservatives are more liberal than they've ever been. But this,
we'll call it liberal light.
Yes, there you go. Coors Light liberals. But we have this reaction by conservatives was caused by a radical left taking control of America. And they took control of the courts long ago, back in the 60s. So, I mean, the judiciary has been more radical than government for decades. And so if we want to talk about the erosion of law, it started in the judiciary, not in the legislature or in the executive. But it's caused by a radical left. And that's, like you said, the founders and the Constitution was meant to restrain, because history shows that any radical movement destroys democracy over time because it causes more and more radical reactions. And eventually you have such a bipolar country like we had in the Civil War that you have to choose a side and there's no room for compromise and it can lead to literal conflict.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to think about a good analogy for it, probably it would be that of a family and a dad and then on and the mom. And then, of course, you got two kids. You got a boy and a girl. The girl's young. The boy's a teenager. And the rule of law would be dad in the middle, right? Everybody's got their ideas. Your young girl's going to have some radical ideas of what she wants to do. The teen's going to have some radical ideas. Dad's got to be there in the middle to say, okay, let's do this. But what's happening now is it's like, okay, 4 years now of the five-year-old, you do whatever you want. And then we'll go back to the 16-year-old, you do whatever you want. And you're going to have some pretty radical thoughts about what you should spend your time on. And the rule of law was there in the middle to say, hey, hang on a second. And that's gone now. Now you've got these two going back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the law, the Constitution, it's the wisdom of the ages. It's not just one man's ideas with one lifetime. I think Noah Webster wrote that the Constitution is the culmination of mankind's experience in one document. Thousands of years of trial and error put into one document so that when someone comes along and rules the country or has a responsibility governing the country, they have wisdom to look back on and not just their own ideas. But once you discard that wisdom, we're going to make the same mistakes that have been made over and over again, because no human knows everything. No human is perfect. And so the law was there to help guide us through uncertainty and give us some guidelines to follow so that we don't fall into the same mistakes of our ancestors.
Right, because if you look at history, has anyone ever come along before with a radical idea, one side or the other? Absolutely, all the time.
Yeah.
And you have major, major problems because of it. Hitler, which people like to throw around his name a lot, he had some radical ideas that were not restrained, and look what happened, you know, until they were finally restrained. So this idea that we don't need law anymore, we're post-law or something, the historical record shows that that's a disaster in the making to think that way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's actually only through law that dangerous people are restrained. And so with President Trump, it's still to be seen. It's still very early to see what kind of legacy and what kind of man he is in the White House. But based on what we've seen, he is trying to right the ship that is listing to the left, and it might list extremely to the right once he's done, but we don't know yet. And so we're seeing that just by some tweets, they're assuming that he's attacking America and putting it into legal inferno, when in fact it's been the collective fault of generations of people who have led America down this path to where we are today. So the pinning on one man who's in power today is very naive, when it's been really everyone's fault to some extent on why America's at this point in history.
Yeah, it's really interesting. That's an interesting point, too, about the judges, because in a lot of cases they're ruling on popular opinion of the public and the media and not the actual law. That's
yes.
Dangerous. That's all the time we have for today on Trumpet Radio Live. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. For myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, Abraham Blondeau, have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.